Taiwan special. Yesterday was a cutoff because the first day I recorded was really, really long. So I chopped it up into, and they really were two separate episodes. I just kind of ran them together and started going. You know, I'm going to wrap up a few other little things here about how Trump, the game that he's playing, a leadership game. Okay, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll make this fast, and then I'll try to see if there's something else I can talk about. Because I know that this could be incredibly boring, but. Well, a lot of people don't get this about Asian pride. When Trump says that she could have a dialogue with the protesters and probably make peace, that really irritates Xi. Now, there's something about Carrie Lam, the Hong Kong CEO, it's not a president, it's a CEO, is going to have a dialogue with the protesters. The problem is, if the dialogues were going to be meaningful, she would have already resigned. See, they want her to resign, and they're not going to change their minds on that. So her purpose of having a dialogue would be to hope to change their minds. And, yeah, you know, that doesn't... So... It almost seems like someone over there is saying, yeah, maybe we could talk to them and pretend to listen so that they'll agree with us. You know, like that game, there's some of that that I see, but there's a point here about this. When Trump said that she should talk to the protesters, that she should, what dialogue, you know, you could talk to them. And that irritated Xi. Because God doesn't talk to cockroaches. And those, the Hong Kongers are not cockroaches because they're protesters or because they're pro-democracy. They're Hong Kongers because they speak Cantonese and not Mandarin. They didn't grow up in the communist country being brainwashed by the Chinese. So, yeah. That's going to get under Xi's skin. When you know, you should talk to him. There's no way that Xi ever would talk to normal citizens. It'll flip his switch and get him angry. And as I said in a video previously this week, that could be the number one escalation in conflict between the U.S. and China. Trump's suggestion that Chinese President Xi talk to non-Mandarin speakers. They speak Cantonese, not Mandarin. Or English speakers, not Mandarin. Non-Mandarin speakers, non-communists, who are not presidents, about any decision that he should make, will incredibly offend his pride, so much so that he will be unable to think about any other decision for the rest of his life. I mean it. It's going to drive Xi Jinping mad, just how David killing Goliath drove King Saul mad. And it made Saul into this megalomaniac who made one miscalculation after another and led to his downfall. I really wonder if Trump saying, you know, Xi could just, you know, talk to the people, probably solve it. I believe he could. I wonder if Trump was trying to get under his skin to make him crazy so he wouldn't be able to think correctly, to make Xi crazy so he couldn't think it correctly. Now, of course, Trump said that because, you know, Limbaugh has pointed out, Trump often will say, yeah, I could talk. Yeah, we could listen. Yeah, I'm open. He says that often because it keeps things talkable. Example, Tim Cook. So I'm leadership here. Fast lesson in how to manage stuff. See, Steve Jobs was a mover and a shaker. So much so that he got fired. One of the guys said about Apple after Steve got fired, he said, wow, I mean, it was like there was this feeling of relief when Steve was gone because it had been like there was a terrorist at Apple terrorizing everybody. And I mentioned this earlier on Monday that, you know, the movie Lean on Me, where Morgan Freeman plays the role of a mover and shaker. And the mover and shaker has to learn stuff. I mean, you know, basically, Morgan Freeman plays Donald Trump as president, or Steve Jobs at Apple. That's what Morgan Freeman plays. He's the mover and the shaker who's a jerk and needs to learn, but they need him. So this guy was, you know, it was an Apple documentary, and the guy said, well, it felt like there was this terrorist that was gone. It was this relief, but at the same time, there was this feeling of, well, who's going to terrorize the company now? They needed someone to terrorize them, quote unquote, into becoming good and excellent. And once the terrorist, Steve, was gone, it's what the guy, he said, it's like there was a terrorist, terrorize everybody, and the terrorist is gone. Once he was gone, there was nobody left to terrorize them into awesomeness anymore. And that's when, you know, as Steve Jobs later said about John Sculley, the guy from Pepsi that he hired, who kind of, you know, played the friend game. Steve isn't nice to me. I don't want to, but maybe we should get rid of him. Beautiful power play. And they fired Steve from his own company. So Steve later said about John Sculley, he said he managed the downfall of Apple. Now, Tim Cook comes along and he wants to talk with Trump about how the trade war is giving Samsung an edge. And Trump comes out with his typical, yeah, well, you know, we could talk. And talking was good. And yeah, I had some good points. I'm listening. Yeah, he's got some ideas there. And maybe there were some specifics that Trump could do the trade war differently to try to help Apple. I don't know what all went on in the conversation, but look, a weak, wimpy manager. That's what Tim Cook is. He's all about getting along. He's not about busting open, new doors. He's not about cutting holes and building new ways to do things that didn't exist before. He's not about tearing down old and building up new. He's not about doing the things that make noise and shaking and dust. He's Tim Cook is about getting along with people. And it goes back to that interview with Comey. We're very concerned about people's privacy. We're very concerned about people's privacy. Remember back when Comey wanted to put a key on the back of your iPhone and so that the FBI could hack into it easily anytime they wanted to? You know, and Tim Cook came out, we're concerned about people's privacy. He should have come out swinging and said, if we put a key into the back of those phones, it'll be in the back of the phones the FBI uses, and China will be able to hack into them. Tim should have said that, but he didn't. He should have turned around and said, in not just been defensive, well, you're hurting us. We don't want to be hurt. He should have said, you're hurting yourself. But Tim didn't think to do that. And so Tim is not thinking to do that with the conflict that's developing over in China. Right. I don't know. There's a lot of corporate stupid. You know, you get all this money moving around and all these rich people, and there are these super nice ways of talking. And it's easy to think that that's the way to keep it going. And it's not. There are things, you know, engines make noise and they make vibration. And the things that the people in your life that you need are probably the most annoying. The annoying children will be the strongest when they grow up, and they might be the ones that start companies. The annoying employees who don't get along with others, they know their jobs, they do an all right, okay job, but they're really hard to get along with. Those are the employees you need most, and they've got to learn their lessons. But you need people that are going to be more focused on doing the job in a good way so that it keeps the money flowing so you can pay the bills and you can employ the people and have the money go through the bank account and come out and the children can get food in their mouths and feed themselves and the children can buy school supplies and we aren't locked out outside. We need to keep the money flowing. And the people you need at your company are the ones that are more focused on doing the good work to keep things flowing than they are focused on being super nice and not offending anybody. It's so important to see this. See, all this acquiescing and caving in made China enormous. And now that Steve Jobs is gone, Tim Cook doesn't know what to do with China. I don't believe Steve would have handled it this way. It's very easy to make the dead people that we respect agree with us. But so I'm not going to speculate on how Steve would have handled China. I don't think that Tim Cook is doing what Steve would have done. Steve would have done something that would have been strong. He would have been more outspoken, and Tim's been too nice, because if you're not the mover and the shaker and you end up taking over the company, the only thing you know how to do is to be nice so that you don't lose your job. And that's what the compromising scumbag politicians always do that we hate them for. That's what the bad leaders always do that we hate them for. That's what Disney and Sony do. You know, the reason they fired that one Spider-Man before Tom Holland was because he didn't show up at a big banquet in honor of the CEO. And so the CEO fired him, said he's not going to be Spider-Man anymore. For that reason alone, that classic Asian pride. Because they're all about getting along rather than hiring the actors that are going to do a good job. Sony doesn't really believe you need to have a good director to have a good movie. They believe if you put Spider-Man on it, it's going to show. They haven't figured out yet that they always destroy stuff and that the Marvel guys actually know what they're doing. Sony hasn't figured that out yet. And again, you know, Disney, they tried to buy Star Wars. What happened with that? You know, I talked about it in the podcast on Monday. You know, Patrick Stewart's doing this new Picard series, and it looks pretty good. And they've tied in a lot of stuff. I think they brought back in the actress who played Seven of Nine way back, you know, like they brought in the OGs. This is Voyager and the Star Trek movies continued. And I saw Brent Spiner in the trailer. And remember this. They didn't just go off and take a Star Trek idea and try to make their own. Patrick Stewart was very involved in this. And they had to make it good to Patrick Stewart's liking, or it wasn't gonna go, in order to get his cooperation. And so you've got to have the movers and the shakers, the originals, the people who were talented enough to do it on the scene while stuff is going, or it's going to fail. And if you're stepping into a big man's shoes, you can't just be the nice guy. You've got to be the mover and shaker. And it really makes, I'll close on this note, it really makes me wonder if the reason that Kim Jong-un keeps launching missiles that couldn't be nuclear, but keeps the hubbub and the gruff and tough going, because he knows that you've got to be a mover and shaker in order to stay in charge. And that's the thing, is for all Kim Jong-un's problems, he has stayed in charge, and North Korea has continued. It hasn't imploded. You know, the walls didn't suddenly fall down and then we push them over and invade to find out that everybody's starving. And no, North Korea is continuing. And at least, here I am saying something nice about Kim Jong-un. Why is it that the bad guys are the ones who have to figure out how to be leaders and the good guys always have to figure out how to be wimps and fail? Can't we make the good guys figure out how to be leaders for once? See you next week.